Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome to the Snapcast, brought to you by
Wellspring Nonprofit Resource
and Nonprofit Snapshot. I'm Mickey Desai. I run the Nonprofit Snapshot. And at the table, we have
Caroline Eccles
and
Lindy Chafin Start.
Lindy, what's the name of your business again?
Unstoppable Start Studios.
And we're going to talk more about marketing today.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, we sort of removed ourselves from the original topic that we started last episode, which was all your constituents are dying and how do you replenish them? And we sort of devolved into, into marketing 101 for nonprofits, which is fine. But
yes.
I'm just wondering if we need to talk more about an aging population or anything else that was on your agenda.
No, I think it was all a circular back into the Marketing 101 for nonprofits.
Right.
Because you have to know how to reach your constituents, no matter what age they are. So that was where we were headed.
Yes.
And I think we achieved that. Now we're just going to keep talking about it. Right.
Yeah.
I remember during the break. I remember we were talking briefly about email marketing tools, and you said you weren't a big fan of MailChimp.
No, I mean MailChimp has lots of opportunity. They compete just like all the rest of them. To me, from a professional standpoint, MailChimp is the last on my list, only because it feels more juvenile in nature, in overall appearance, if that makes sense. So when I'm working with small businesses, unless it's something that's sort of juvenile that we're working with, I try to stick to something that's the audience that's going to read the email is going to be drawn to. And usually that's more lifestyle imagery related and messaging and content than it is bubbles and happy and you know that. So that's just my own perspective. Now, there are lots of different email marketing platforms out there. Infusionsoft is the one I use.
Infusionsoft.
I use Constant Contact lots and lots for clients. It's also a great platform. And MailChimp, again, it has its benefits. It can be a no-cost option if you're up for dealing with the MailChimp brand. So,
and in their defense, I mean, I don't want our podcast to become partisan. But I use MailChimp almost exclusively for everything that I do for whatever reason. It's just easy.
Yeah.
And the price point has always been good because I've never exceeded their free guidelines, right? Like none of my lists have ever been so huge that I paid for them. But
exactly.
But so, yeah, please continue.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, they all have their benefits. Infusionsoft is sort of a CRM / email / landing page, you know, all in one package.
Okay.
So you can actually create an automated campaign that will do everything from have a landing page to sending out 10 or 12 consecutive emails that are on campaign, on point the whole time with the messaging. In that, you can actually drop yourself a reminder to when this person hits this, send them a note, send them this postcard, send them a sample. You know, that kind of thing.
So have you ever used Stay Classy? Like, I'm wondering, or now it's just called Classy. It's terrible.
It's a terrible name, yeah.
But, like, when you said that, that's reminding me of that. It's because you can build a whole campaign around this one platform.
Sure.
And I know, like, City of Refuge did a campaign where I think they raised, like, $60,000 in a week or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was kind of maybe a countdown and... but it may have had some of the touches that you just described.
Mm-hmm.
And I've wanted to replicate that. And I don't think City of Refuge has ever been able to replicate that either. For some reason, at that time, it just hit.
Right.
And they did really well with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm not familiar with that particular platform now.
Okay. And I'm sure there are others. I'm excited to learn about Infusionsoft.
Yes.
We were talking about social media on the last episode.
Yeah.
And all the different venues that people have, all the different channels that you can establish for your organization. What do you think about social media dashboards? Do you have a favorite? Do you use them at all?
Myself and I use Hootsuite.
Yeah,
it's kind of my go-to.
Yeah.
It's relatively user-friendly, can be a little bit frustrating. I think any technology is frustrating.
Sure.
any technology tied to Mother Google is even more frustrating.
Mother Google.
That's Mother Google owns the world. It's like Mother Goggle. Actually, I had this conversation. I have to tell a funny story really quick. I had this conversation the other day with a friend. And we were talking about how the guys who started Google must have been sitting around in the garage giggling over the whole thing. And they wanted to call it Giggle because they knew they were going to be robbing people blind. but they decided that that would probably be a bad idea because people would figure it out. So they changed it to Google. Sorry, Google. I mean, I really do subscribe to your products and use them often for my clients, but.
It is a funny story.
It's at all true. Whew, y'all are just sitting back just a giggling.
Is this fake news, Lindy?
It's just funny. Okay.
All right. So what else is on the agenda? We have a few more minutes to.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's talk about email list. You were talking about email. Can I share some just tips and tricks with you guys?
Yes, please.
All right. So first things first. One thing I noticed a lot of nonprofits do is that if people subscribe to their list, they don't show that new subscriber the love. And that's a great place for automated campaigns to come in. You can create an automated campaign that'll serve an email out every 3 days, every week for 12 weeks, however you want to do it. But think about the story you're trying to tell for your nonprofit and what you're trying to ask of that new subscriber. So, you know, you can take some of the weight off of people by developing this campaign up front. So when somebody subscribes to your list, you can build their confidence and their trust by sharing with them this automated email campaign. Okay, so that's step one. Don't lose those first-time email subscribers by ignoring them or just sending them the next, you know, next newsletter.
The next regular.
Exactly, or the next ask.
Right.
Like, they don't just want to hear about the ask. So, yeah, content remains king in there. Now, another piece of this is when you're thinking, when you have a list of subscribers, donors, make sure that when they come in, you are tagging them for what they are. What are they interested in? How did they find you?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got different campaigns running, say we have an organization that has Meals on Wheels, home repair services, and in-home care. Your different campaigns would tag, like if somebody was interested in Meals on Wheels, it would tag them as a Meals on Wheels constituent. It would tag them as a home repair. So when you're sending information back out, send them information that they're interested in and not just, hey, here's generic organization information.
So when they subscribe, do you send them an email saying, hey, why did you subscribe?
No, you can do all of this on the back end.
So how do you figure out what they're interested in?
You create the landing pages and the campaigns that would reach those people. You target those people to start with. Does that make sense?
So if they come through door one, you automatically know something about them.
Exactly.
And if they come through door three, then door three was created with a different story in mind.
Exactly.
And therefore you know something about them that way.
Right. Now, if you want to start something a little bit more generic, you can create just a generic organization landing page. And when people sign up, you can ask them, hey, are you interested in receiving information on A, B, or C?
So,
and they can check the box.
So like for your Meals on Wheels home repair, so if I Googled Meals on Wheels in Atlanta, then I'd land on a certain page, and that's how you'd know that's what I'm interested in.
You could land on that page. Well, yes, but that's more of an analytics thing. So if you're trying to capture the data of that person, say, want to know what's going on with Meals on Wheels in Atlanta, or how you can help people who receive Meals on Wheels in your community, go to that landing page. They're on that landing page. Would you like to sign up to receive information?
Mm-hmm.
So here's where you're capturing their data.
Okay.
So they're giving you.
So it's where they subscribe. Like where on your website they subscribe.
Where on your website or on a landing page? Yes.
Okay. I'm taking notes.
Yes. Absolutely.
This is all about me gathering information from you.
There's a whiteboard over here, but I don't think it's going to benefit our audience if I use it.
Right.
But if you want to sit down, we can do that too. So yeah. So segmenting your email list is a huge part of that. So when. You know, once you know what people are interested in, you're not just giving them random information.
Right.
You're giving them information that they're interested in. So when you do get ready to do, say, your annual giving, you might have an annual campaign for Meals on Wheels.
And then I'll save money that way as a nonprofit.
Exactly. You're not just.
And that goes into my marketing. Pay my marketing director.
There you go. So, yeah. So email marketing can be huge for a nonprofit. And again, if you do the legwork, if you just spend the time to create the right campaign, I think you're saving money instead of just letting it wash away.
What do you think of buying email addresses, like an email list?
I'm not a big proponent of that.
Is that as dead? I mean, like, is, and this is something totally different, but the direct mail, like, you know, we used to buy lists all the time. Mm-hmm. And then in the past 10 years, that has not been successful at all for me.
I think the market on that has changed. It's a love or hate relationship anymore. There's no gray area on whether or not people should get a list. And I'm speaking as an amateur. I'm not a marketing pro.
Right.
But I've never seen anything make a room full of fundraisers cringe so quickly as a prospect of buying an email list.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Because they change all the time. Is that?
They do. And, you know, there's a situation where a list is fair and reasonable. And this is used in an IP targeting scenario. So I work with El Toro out of Louisville, Kentucky, and they are an IP targeting company that works with agencies, okay? Mm-hmm. They have this thing called the New Movers Program. So they keep list of people who have engaged a moving company and have moved into an area, all right? So you can target an area by zip code, say.
Right.
Say you wanted to target Decatur 30333030, right? You could create a campaign around new movers who, in my instance, would be, we're the dentist in the neighborhood, we're the doctor in the neighborhood for small businesses. But for nonprofits, you could do a similar thing. You've moved. Are you ready to get involved?
Hmm.
Target those new movers. It's a short-term thing. You can do it both digitally and in print.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short-term campaign with a targeted geographic audience, and you get their attention that way. That's where I would use the list. I don't know that I would just buy a random list and use it.
And then for like, we have clients a lot that are involved in, like, we're started as a ministry of a church.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, say it's a Baptist ministry. I mean, and nobody's ever wanted to do this or talk to me about it, but if we bought a list of Baptists, you know, I mean, I just don't know if that would be a good thing to do or.
No, I would steer clear of that one. Just,
all Baptists in Atlanta come give to our mission.
BaptistEmails.com.
Right. Yeah, our ministry, yeah.
I mean, you know, there's some evangelistic techniques out there that have worked.
Right.
But I don't know if it would just work in that instance.
Right.
And I'm also, the term that keeps popping in my head over the last 5 minutes is return on investment. And there are going to be some nonprofits that can say, is this really going to be worth the investment? How do you demonstrate ROI? And then I'm thinking to the small to medium-sized nonprofit who desperately needs this kind of help, even though they're not in a position to really look at a large scale set of metrics, I think they still want to know if that it's worth it for them too.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's something bouncing around in my head around this. It's like, how do you justify that these, I look at as advanced techniques in marketing, how do you justify that those are worth it for the small to medium sized nonprofit houses? So that may be
it. Tie your analytics into it and you watch it happen.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
And analytics is something we should definitely talk about on a different date. I think you can devote an entire episode just to pure analytics discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But
seminars,
yes.
Weekends, workshops, yes. But a question came to me just a minute ago I wanted to ask y'all about, which is crowdfunding.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen successful crowdfunding in the nonprofits that you work with?
Well, that's that City of Refuge example with the Stay Classy or Classy. But I've never done it myself. So I would like to learn more about doing that. I know a lot of nonprofits are interested because I guess the cost outlay is not that great.
Right.
And it does work. I've just never, that's a whole other side of fundraising that I just have not had experience with, but I'd love to learn about it.
Yeah,
I'm taking notes over here. I think we're going to have to find a guest who can talk more effectively about crowdfunding for the nonprofit world, because I know it happens. I just don't know if it's successful.
Right. And I've got a client that wants to do some peer-based fundraising through Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I do have clients that use the birthday thing where they're, you know, it's my birthday. Please give to my favorite charity.
Mm-hmm.
And that raises a little bit of money.
I don't know that any of those have been a major source of revenue for anybody at this point. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I don't think that they really, like, it doesn't turn into tens of thousands of dollars unless you have a ton of friends with a ton of money. So
I don't know much about it.
Yeah.
I know everybody's interested in things like that because it seems like, it's free and it's.
And in addition to the crowdfunding sites that we know, in addition to, Kickstarter, Indiegogo, there is at least one nonprofit-specific site where people, not for nonprofits, not people, can start their own crowdfunding projects and attempt to get them funded via that site. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember their name. And you and I.
They need to market that.
Yeah,
market
I do. Better. Yes, they do need to market
so
better.
They exist, but I think they rely upon the people who are running those campaigns to do their marketing for them. And allegedly, I think, well, evidently, that's not happening. So.
Well, yeah, and there again, I mean, anytime you do any kind of crowdfunding, you're going to want to market it. I mean, it's not, you can't just post it and pray.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. So.
Right.
There's effort that goes into all of this.
Post it and pray.
Post it and pray. No, it didn't work that way. I wish it did. I'd be rich.
Well, let's wrap it up today. I think this is a good place to start. And anything else we need to make sure we touch on today, Lindy?
Unless there's something else y'all want to touch on.
Carolyn?
I think I'm satisfied with the email marketing that we've talked about.
Yeah,
okay.
It's been a good episode. So thank you for joining us. This has been the Snapcast. Recording in Strongbox West in Atlanta. I'm Mickey Desai. I run the nonprofit Snapshot.
I'm Caroline Eccles with Wellspring Nonprofit Resource.
And
Chafe and Start with Unstoppable Start Studios.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. We will see you next time.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.